Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Aria Helwani, back with another jam-packed edition of DC and Helwani. And as you probably guessed, we have a lot to talk about on today's program, coming off a very busy week in MMA. But before we get to all of that, in case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of sports going on right now. You got the NBA playoffs. You got the NHL playoffs. You got Major League Baseball heading towards the playoffs. You got the NFL, you've got college football, you've got so much soccer. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's never been as crowded as it is right now. And this is what we were all looking forward to when there was the shutdown several months ago. And dare I say, it's a good problem to have, a small silver lining, if you will. Well, we here at ESPN have a podcast for every single one of those sports. Yes, every single one, whether it's baseball tonight with Buster Olney, the college football podcast with Herbie Ann Pollock, the Adam Schefter podcast has you covered for all things NFL. And of course, my guy, Windy, Brian Windhorst, has all the latest on the NBA playoffs with the Hoop Collective podcast. You can download and subscribe to any of these shows wherever you get your podcasts. And whatever you do, be sure to leave them a review and tell them that the nose sent you. All right, time now for today's program. And as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
You want to come and provide love at the party?
That's okay. Right.
I mean, geez, Louis, you constantly offer me things that I just don't really need.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this Monday, September 21st, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani, presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. And DC, you look like you're straight out of the Nutty Professor over there. You're pumped up.
Hercules, hurt.
Look at that shirt. No. What is that? No. Extra small? What are you rocking there?
I mean, you know, I might have had a rough week with the baby in the hospital. You know, put on a few of those LBs. I got to be very careful now. It's diet week now. It's crazy that this week has to be a diet week for me.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, DC, as we are about to get into a loaded show, so much to talk about.
It's great.
From this past Saturday to this coming Saturday to all kinds of news, new additions to the UFC and whatnot. When you just said rough week right up the top there, I thought you were referring to, you know, your bout with the coronavirus, which I found out about last week. Now, I don't want to get too into it right here off the bat, but I just want to know, like, first and foremost, most importantly, friend to friend, are you okay? Are you feeling it? Because I found out about this news
Ariel,
on the internet last week.
You're doing this? You're doing this? Like, you're actually going to do this to me?
I just want to know if you're feeling okay. That's all. Right. We'll address this later on, but I just want to know if you're okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was in July. And
oh, okay.
Granted, I feel as though I may have stabbed my boy in the back a little bit, and my sincerest apologies. I really do. What kind of friend am I? I mean, what kind of friend am I?
This is
what
about
kind
of you. Friend am this I? Isn't about me. I just want to.
No, it's not even about you. It's about our show. Like, it's our show.
I'm asking if you're okay. That's all. That's all I care about.
Ariel,
I found out in the news yesterday, excuse me, 6 days ago or so ago, that my good friend Daniel Cormier was sick, and I wanted to know if you were okay. It's the first time we speak since then.
Yeah, because you've iced me out. You've actually iced me out since the news came out because it wasn't on our show. You felt a little bit betrayed, and you have every right to.
I think you're projecting right now, if I'm being
honest. I think my guilt is getting the best of me right now. Like, my guilt is getting the best of me. My apologies to DC and Helwani, because I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? I mean, come on. That's crazy. The moment it happened, I was like, wow, I actually just iced my own show. It's kind of crazy, man. It's sad. It's sad.
Well, in any event, we'll talk about that a little later on in the
podcast. Do we have to, though?
I think
we just talked about it. Can we just like not talk about it anymore?
I think for the sake of this show and our relationship, most importantly, I think we need to talk about a few things. But first, let us talk about what happened this past weekend in Las Vegas. A fight night card that was hailed as maybe the best of 2020. Dare I say it lived up to all the hype. and it was highlighted by Colby Covington's very dominant win over Tyron Woodley in the main event. He wins officially via TKO in the fifth. Woodley broke his rib. He confirmed that with me on Sunday. But at that point, it was elementary. It looked like it was going to be either a 50-45 or a 50-44 victory for Colby Covington. It was very one-sided from the jump. Just very, very quickly and in a broad sort of spectrum, how impressed were you with what Colby Covington, the fighter, did on Saturday against former champion Tyron Woodley after all the talk and all the buildup?
The best fight night card of all time? Okay. Maybe I'm just getting ahead of myself. I know I get a bit excited at times, you know. But I mean, it was a great fight night card. And man, let me tell you something. If you're Colby Covington and his new team that they mentioned seven times on the show, they got to be very happy. I mean, because he fought a fight like with all the things that surrounded the fight and how massive the fight was, the buildup of all the years for him to have that type of performance. They could not have asked for anything better. And this is the first time he's fought away from American Top Team, right? Is it MMA Masters or something like that he's training at? Yep. It just kind of shows, you know, that this dude is as good as they come. And he dominated from start to finish. It was his fight. And he's actually still improving, which is very scary because he's been so good for so long already.
What surprised you more, his dominance, which I was equally impressed by, and I think you can make a strong case right now that he's the second best welterweight in the world behind, obviously, the champion Kamaru Usman, who beat him in December. Was it his dominance in his first fight since that loss to Usman in December, or was it Woodley's performance? Now, here we are, 15 straight rounds, 75 minutes. I feel like it's a hard question for you to answer, but, you know, again, you're just left wondering, like, why isn't he pulling the trigger? Why isn't he looking like the old Tyron Woodley?
So I think it's a number of things. And I think you have to really give credit to these guys. We got to be very careful not to, you know, downplay what Usman, Burns, and Colby has done. But it was about Covington. Because what impressed me the most was not only his wrestling, but even in the stand-up. He beat Tyron in the stand-up. He threw more body kicks than I've ever seen him throw. He feinted much more, throwing much many more feints before going into his takedowns. A lot of times, Colby would just wrestle, right? At any cost, he wanted to get you to the ground. That's how he ended up getting submitted early in his career, right? Because he was shooting without setting things up. Now, you don't have to worry about Colby taking bad attacks because he's so comfortable on his feet now. And he backed Tyron up. He got him exactly where he needed him to be. And there wasn't a moment in that fight where you felt like Tyron Woodley could land a right hand that was going to end the fight. Because ultimately, it's Tyron's right hand that's going to keep him in fights. Well, Covington completely shut that down. And in the fight, as it went longer, he started to dominate even more. Now, Ariel, this is one thing we always think about when we think about Colby Covington. Insane pace, insane cardio, right? He is willing to go harder earlier than his opponents because he knows that his cardio is going to last him into the fifth round. But we saw a patient Colby Covington on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't that reckless pressure that we have gotten accustomed to. He was much more patient in his approach, and it still paid dividends because as the fight went longer, Tyron got more tired, and Tyron was the one that was getting beaten worse as the fight went on. So I thought that new – more patient approach will help him if he finds himself in another fight with Kamaru Usman.
So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Nick Diaz, and I said that, you know, Nick Diaz should fight the winner of this fight. This is the difference between, say, me and, say, you, and me and a lot of people. I'll sit here and say that I was wrong. I don't want to see that fight. I don't want to see Nick Diaz fight Colby Covington. I don't think it would be smart for Nick Diaz to fight Colby Covington. Colby Covington is on fire right now. I think he's the second best welterweight in the world. I think his next fight should be a really big fight against a guy who's been active. It's not that Nick Diaz, you know, in his prime can't beat Colby Covington, but Nick Diaz hasn't fought in a very long time. Like by the time he fights, it'll be 5 years or so if he does in fact fight. You don't come back after 5 years and fight a guy and beat a guy like Colby Covington. So I'll sit here and say, I don't think that fight should happen.
That's kind of good that you're admitting you're wrong because you were so terribly wrong.
You'll never do that.
So wrong in a long time. I say when I'm wrong all the time. I will just admit it. I'm a man with no ego. But you, my friend, are a much different case.
That is absolutely
you were just so wrong. you were wrong bad. And I'm glad that you're owning up to it.
So what does he do? Because after the fight, you know, he beats him from pillar to post, essentially. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Tyron's future in a second, but I think we should focus on Colby's future. Mm-hmm. After the fight, he focused on two guys. He focused on a guy named Kamaru Usman, who's already booked to fight Gilbert Burns on December 12th. And he focused on a guy named Jorge Masvidal, where there's a great storyline attached to that fight, right? Former best friends and mm-hmm. training partners and roommates. But the problem is Jorge Masvidal is booked, at least as of now, tentatively booked to fight Nathan Diaz. Now, mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, DC. The rematch isn't signed just yet. They're still in the early stages of the negotiations. Do you think – they're not going to take the fight away from Burns. We know that, right? They're not going to – Usman's on fight.
He said it multiple times.
Do they call an audible and try to do Masvidal versus Covington, or do they book someone else against Colby Covington?
The reality is when you talk about how big a fight can be, Nate Diaz is hard to match, right? We know that. Him and Masvidal did good numbers last time. But we saw the fight, right? We saw the fight. What we haven't seen is Covington fight Masvidal. And I think if you're the UFC, you do pivot and put those two together. But if not, there's another fight out there that could actually – it'll show two things. Right? It'll show two things. Seriously, it'll show two things for Colby and for his opponent. One, last fight that Colby lost, Usman, he wasn't able to get takedowns. He had to stand with him. And while he did well at times, he ended up getting finished ultimately. On Saturday night, Colby's like, it was the worst decision of all time. But in reality, Colby got finished. Like, I mean, I get it, but he did get finished. But Leon Edwards, right? Leon Edwards, again. Last time he lost was to Kamaru Usman, right? And Usman really did wear on him with the wrestling. If Leon Edwards can get through Colby Covington, then you know that he's ready to fight the champ again after the Burns fight. But I would say option number one, audible, man. Do Masvidal versus Covington. Maybe Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. I don't know. If Diaz wants to fight, give him a fight, right?
Nate's not taking that fight. Here's the thing.
But if Diaz wants to fight, find him a fight. But I'm saying you make that – you love the storylines. There's no bigger story right now than Masvidal Covington.
The and biggest I think you loser, put those – sorry for interrupting. The mm-hmm. biggest loser on Saturday was Nate Diaz.
He
was
yeah, I feel loser. Like it. Because I feel lost, like you go Covington.
He lost leverage, right? It's like Masvidal Diaz won back in August after Diaz beat Pettis. They had all – like he called them out. Everyone wanted to see that fight. Now you have fans saying, no, I want to see – to your point, I want to see the fresh matchup. I want to mm-hmm. see the bitter, you know, rivalry, the feud and all this stuff. They both hate each other. So people want to see that. And I think that ultimately they will try to do the Masvidal-Diaz fight. But I think if for some reason there's, you know, tough negotiations, and stuff, they could pivot.
They'll just go, they'll pivot. They'll pivot right away. So you because you have, you have that second option out there so easily and so ready. Because Covington wants to fight. Right? And this is what I tweeted after the fight Saturday. Everybody does not like this guy. Colby Covington this and that. And this. Dude can fight, man. Dude can really fight. And he's a problem for everybody. And even Usman, he gave Kamaru a ton of problems going into the, in that fight. It wasn't a runaway victory for Kamaru if they went to the judges' scorecards. This is a very competitive fight. And I don't know if anybody else beats him. I really don't. Because I believe that with Usman, it just completely eliminates his wrestling. So he's forced to stand with you. If you have, if there's a chance that Colby takes you down, you are way behind the eight ball. You got to find a way to make him stand almost the entirety of the fight, or he just kind of wears on you and wears on you until eventually it starts to break your will. But that dude's in line for some big fights. I say do Masvidal though.
Yeah, I would love to see the Masvidal fight. I would love to see the Edwards fight. I mean, if you want to please everyone, you do Masvidal Diaz too, and then you do Edwards Covington. I don't think that that's getting as much momentum behind it. I mean, I did a poll, and Edwards did not win. Masvidal won. I threw Khamzat Chimaev just as a joke there, but obviously that's not going to happen, and Colby isn't going to take that fight, and he shouldn't. But right now, the fight that has the most heat behind it is probably the Masvidal versus Covington fight. And if I'm Nate Diaz, I need to start speaking up. Like, Nate Diaz can't be sitting on his throne and just think that the UFC is going to come to him. Like, and this is not even me advocating for him to do it to me, although I'd love it. Like, you need to start doing some media. You need to start campaign. You need to start doing this stuff, because I feel like the fans are like, we've been there, done that. We saw this fight. Mm-hmm. Covington is on fire. Masvidal, we obviously want to get behind and we like. that's the fight that I think a lot of people are going to want to see. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. Now, on the flip side, you have Tyron Woodley, who, like I said, 15 rounds. I saw what you tweeted about him. This is a tough spot, man. And and DC, I want to ask you before I ask you what's next for him. Have you ever broken your rib?
Yeah, I have. Wrestled. We what do.
I've heard that it is hurts. The excruciating thing in the world. And people were like laughing at him and questioning him. How bad is that? And you saw the picture, right? The X-ray or the scan?
It was like this. I mean, yes. It's awful. It's awful. Breaking a rib is you can't breathe. You can't sneeze. You can't cough. You can't laugh. You can't do anything. Anything that makes your core kind of react is out of the question until this thing starts to heal. It's about as painful an injury as you've ever had. It's in wrestling, right? When you're getting gut wrenched, squeezed, rib will pop sometimes because guys squeeze that hard. And I didn't know what happened with Tyron. I didn't understand what made the rib break. He held onto the guillotine, but you saw in his reaction, oh, my rib, that he was hurt. And then when you saw the X-ray, man, that dude, it's bad. Tyron's got he's got about a month or so of being very, very uncomfortable, not able to do much of anything until he starts to recover.
Yeah, he told me he has to sleep sitting up for the next 3-4 days. He's in excruciating amount of pain. You can't have surgery on it. You can't sneeze.
You got to just sit and wait.
And so at this point, what happens afterwards? Dana White said, you know, it could be time to hang it up. And all this stuff, we have to remember, Tyron has fought three of the best fighters on the planet, right?
And that's the thing.
But DC, can you make a case? Like, it just feels like he's not as aggressive. He's not engaging enough. What is going on there?
Yeah, but when was he? When was Tyron aggressive? I think that's what people need to
take
a step back. But that was one explosion. Just like the Jay Heron fight was an explosion. The Josh Koscheck fight was an explosion. A lot of these fights are explosions. Even the Stephen Wonderboy fights, right? Stephen Wonderboy would kind of go forward, and Tyron would hit him with the right hand as he was backing up. T. Wood's always kind of been a guy that likes to set traps. He's a very smart guy, right? So he tries to set traps, and then when you go into the trap is when he kind of explodes into you, and he was knocking guys out that way. But even when you look at T. Wood's title reign, right, beating Wonderboy once, draw with him once, they fought twice or three times?
Twice.
They fought twice, right? So, but those are two pretty slow fights. Wonderboy is not Gilbert Burns, Kamaru Usman, or Colby Covington because he's not going to pressure you in that way. The guys that he's fighting now, they continue to engage with him. That's why he hasn't been able to kind of do his thing. But it's hard to watch as a friend of Tyron's and a person that saw him at the top of the game. It's hard to watch. But the reality is he's fighting the best fighters in the world consistently. You think about Gilbert Burns, Colby Covington, and Kamaru Usman. You're talking about the champ, the number one contender, and number two contender. He's not fighting bums. Now, with that being said, it's easier to say look to the next thing. Because before he was beating those guys as the champion. He's always fought the best of the best. But now he's just getting washed out by him. It's not even competitive in any way.
Do you want to see him still fight? Anyone?
You know, what was harder for me to watch, honestly, was it wasn't necessarily this fight, if I'm being completely honest with you. It was the Gilbert Burns fight. Mm-hmm. Because in this fight, this fight more closely resembled the Usman fight, right, where he just seemed lost. Like, he just didn't seem like he had any idea of what to do to change it. In the Burns fight, he actually tried. Because imagine when he got knocked down early and he got the big old cut. He could have just chalked it up and said, you know, tonight's not my night, and lose the fight. But he kept fighting, and he kept throwing, trying to land on Gilbert, and Gilbert just wasn't there for him. This fight, it seemed like, around the second, third round, his corner had to start pleading with him to fight. And I think that was because he kind of accepted, you know, like, I'm not going to beat this dude. And maybe I'll land one, but chances are this guy's like, he's better at this point in his career. So just didn't seem like this one was hard to watch, but not as bad because he just seemed kind of outmatched. And it seemed like he wasn't going to be able to turn it around.
It is important to note he's not getting brutally knocked out.
No.
He's not getting submitted. I know in this case.
But Ariel, 15 rounds in a row is bad.
100%. You know, if we want to put him in there against you know, all the way down the ladder against a guy who's ranked 15, 16, just to see if he could build himself back up. Like, there is a spot, I think, in the UFC for a Tyron Woodley, if he still wants to fight, if he still wants to be, you know, engaged by fighting and go through a training camp and everything like that. But it is hard to watch him in these fights now for 15, you know, straight rounds. It's hard to watch him against the upper echelon. He is not there anymore, but I still feel like if he wants to go through that, maybe he's lost his love. I don't know. I haven't had that extensive talk with him yet, but if he wants to fight a top 20, a top 15, I think he should be allowed to do that. Like, I don't think he's embarrassing himself. I don't think he's a shell of his former self in terms of he's getting knocked down. It's like, oh man, like CTE, all this stuff. It's getting to the point where it's like, okay, we have to start talking about the end. I don't know if he's at the end. He's certainly at the end in terms of fighting top contenders.
For the championships.
Yes.
That championship level is pretty much in the rear view. But but like I said, right, he hasn't – like you said, he hasn't been getting knocked out. But here's the thing. As a former champion like that, that held the belt for, what, 2-3 years, I don't know if you get those number 20 guys. And if you do, you know, you find yourself in there with a killer. You know, you find yourself with a young killer that's on his way up, right? Like, it's a very difficult spot for Tyron to be in right now, especially with how everything has been. You know, like, man, people just don't seem to take to him the way that – he's a great guy. People just don't seem to take to him. And he's going to continue to find himself in these spots because, man, it was almost celebratory watching the reaction from people around – when Tyron lost. And I mean, most times when you got a champion like that, that's on the way out, that people feel and they want to kind of uplift him. I didn't get that from people in regards to Tyron.
That's interesting. DC, you know, we have to talk about this and you alluded to it a little bit when you were talking about Colby. There's no denying that Colby is one of the best fighters on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. There's no denying that he looked great in this fight, that he's arguably the second best welterweight in the world right now. However, he is a very polarizing figure, right?
Yeah,
that's putting it mildly. And I'm not even talking about his politics. I'm not talking about the red hat and all that stuff. Yeah, to be honest, doesn't bother me. Couldn't care less. I've had him on the show. He's worn it. Doesn't bother me at all. But he made several comments over the past week and in the post fight that were offensive and could be viewed as racist and could be viewed as, you know, very divisive. Do you feel like in this, you know, in this fight world that we live in, where generally it's like all is fair in love and fight promotion and it gets heated and you've been there, right? Where family gets involved and things are said. Is there a line? And if so, do you feel like Colby has either crossed that line or is dangerously close to crossing that line?
Well, he's very close, but I believe that the line gets pushed back when he's essentially repeating a message that is being spoken to the entire world by our president, right? Like, a lot of the stuff that he says is just repeating. So it's like, kind of like, is it really as bad when a lot of people are saying the same types of things? I don't care who people support in politics. That really doesn't bother me. We don't make that choice. We are all free to do what we want. But like you said, man, it's all fair in war and it's low hanging fruit.
I mean, the comments that he made towards Kamaru Usman in the post-fight show have nothing.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad. The tribe thing. That was bad. That was bad.
To do with it.
That was bad. That was a bad. When he said, "What are they going to do? Do this thing?"
Does that offend you?
That was bad. That was a bad one.
I was bothered by it. Were you?
Well, so I saw that just recently because a couple of my friends, they hate Colby, right? They absolutely can't stand Colby. And he said, "Look at what this dude said." And I go, "Yeah, that was really bad." Because again, when you watch Colby do his interviews, you can see him thinking about the things. He's trying to remember what he's got in his mind. So that's why in the post-fight interview, he goes, "John, let me take this off your hands for a while." You see him look up, right? Because I do that. When I'm trying to remember things, like a lot of guys do that. So you see him trying to rehearse a lot of the things in his mind that he's got done. But the Usman thing was him having to go off the cuff. And having to go off the cuff isn't something that he's necessarily comfortable with doing. And that's what came out. Yeah, that was bad. Shouldn't say that. And you could see that it got to Usman too.
Yeah, as it should have. Here's the thing. When Colby Covington came to the UFC, he was just sort of like a guy that was on the roster, right? Had no persona, had no quote-unquote gimmick, had no edge to him. And he realized that this could get him over. And guess what? It did. DC, he got a phone call from the president.
Yeah, I know.
His life. That's a big deal. And that's cool. And he should be happy about that. And he looked like he was very happy about that.
Bro, he's so like,
because the gimmick brought him to the White House. So it obviously worked to a degree. But what I'm asking you is, and I believe this is true, there is a line. Religion, family. Yeah.
Well, you saw what happened with Habib and Conor, right?
There was the line got crossed.
The line kept getting crossed.
The line got crossed. And I just don't want to see that line continuously get crossed anymore. Like, I think on Saturday night, the line got crossed. In the post-fight stuff.
Again, I think
it's unnecessary because he's so good. He's such a good fighter. And you could do the MAGA gimmick without crossing the line.
He's too deep now. He's too deep now, Ariel. He can't go back. He's too deep. Even if he said, this is all a gimmick. This is just my shtick. It's too far gone now. He has to continue down the path. He has to.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's talk about Khamzat Chimaev. For your boy.
Let me turn the music on. Choo-choo! Somebody give me where's my steering wheel? Where's my steering wheel? Because I'm driving the train, baby. You know I'm driving the train.
You're all about that train. Hey,
what about when he made his debut and you had to tell me his name?
You didn't
even know his name. That was like three fights ago.
66 days ago. Well, technically, I guess it's like 68 now. He won his debut in July. 66 days later, he's 3-0. But, DC, what about these numbers? Total strikes. 124-2 against John Phillips in his debut, 68-0 against Reese McKee, and 4-0 against Gerald Merchart. He knocks Gerald Merchart out.
Didn't think many, boy.
What is going on here?
Do you remember after Abu Dhabi you said, DC, what did you think about Khamzat Chimaev? This was before the show, and I'm like, what's his name again? And then I started talking about all the other Dagestanis in the wrestling in the region, and I was like, you were like, you have no idea who this kid is. I was like, you know what? I got to be honest, Ariel. I don't. But, boy, do I know who he is now. Choo-choo, because I'm the conductor of this train, baby, and I'm not letting certain people on. Bisping, you're not welcome to ride the Chimaev train. You're out of there. And all these other guys, y'all out because y'all didn't believe us. When we said Chimaev, okay, maybe I was a week late to the party because it's only a week. You remember the first one was 1 week? The next one was the second week. He beat the dude up, and I was on board. And then, boy, what he did to Gerald this weekend. That was something else, huh?
And, DC, I said after the second win that he should be fighting top five guys.
I disagreed. Remember, I was like, let's not rush him because he's just going to be stuck there. But guess what? He's ready, baby. I was wrong. Earlier you said,
yes.
I admit when I'm wrong. Hey, Ariel, I'm ready to admit I was wrong. I want – give him a title shot. Give him – I want a title shot. But come on. Ariel, give him a title shot. Give him a title shot. He's ready because when he was beating these dudes up with all the takedowns, everybody kept going, no, Daniel, his kickboxing is what he's known for. He's the best at stand-up. And I'm like, no, he isn't. There's no way. With the way that he can beat these guys on the ground, there's no way. One right hand. Gerald looked terrified. Can we agree on this? Gerald looked terrified?
He did not look like he wanted to be in there. Yeah,
he looked terrified.
It was disappointing after everything that he said, and he owned up to it afterwards. But after everything he said the week before, and I saw a lot of people say like, oh, you know, you were saying, I never said for a second that Gerald was going to win that fight. All I said was it was disrespectful towards Gerald to talk about his next fight. And guess what? Regardless of what happened on Saturday, and now we know what happened, it was still disrespectful. The result doesn't mean it wasn't disrespectful, but clearly they were right. And now it's on to the next.
Now we know why they do the job that they do. That's why they're the ones been the matchmaking. No. Because that's why
I didn't say
that. That's why Sean Shelby. No. That's why Mick Maynard. That's why they do the jobs they do, because they know. They're like, man, let me tell you something. I can imagine being big old whiteboard on the wall. It's like, okay, we got this one. Let's go UFC Vegas 11. We're going to put Khamzat Chimaev. And then Dana goes, how about we put him again in Fight Island? And then everybody's like, oh my God, two fights? Two fights? You're going to schedule two? And they're like, we're going to schedule them two because this dude's special. And boy, he showed it. He showed it last weekend. And you know what's more impressive? He's a 70-pounder.
Right.
Ariel, he's a 70-pounder. He's a 70-pounder.
Who wins right now, Khamzat or Colby? Come on. Oh. Let's hear it.
You can't really put me on the spot like this because you know I'm on this Khamzat train, man.
You think, I got okay, I'm about to get Khamzat,
if Khamzat fights Damian Maia, yeah, which I don't want to see anymore. Right. I don't want to see Damian Maia in there with Khamzat, though. I don't want to see Damian Maia in there with Khamzat Chimaev.
Hey, shout out.
If he goes in there, he is getting knocked out.
Shout out to my guy Sandu on Twitter. He said Damian Maia versus Khamzat Chimaev will be like when Shawn Michaels fought Ric Flair and he was crying before hitting him with
his feet. He was crying. It's over. Yeah. I'm not a walking. When HBK was. When HBK is loading up the speech and music, bro, he is going to get knocked out, bro. The way Gilbert Burns knocked him out, it's going to be much worse. And then the legend of Khamzat is going to just continue to grow.
Okay, so that fight's not done yet. It's not signed. They haven't.
I don't want it.
So audible that too?
Audible.
What do we do?
You know what's kind of crazy? Okay, so what do you want? This is the question. What do you want? You want to see him get tested? Because he's honestly not going to get tested until he gets to the elite of the elite.
He's ready for the elite of the elite.
Absolutely.
Put him in there.
But guys like Mike Perry are going, I'm ready. I was 9-0 with 9 knockouts. I mean, you can put them in there and let them go do that thing. We might have, it might be another celebration piece because Khamzat be doing his thing. Mike Perry's good, though. But, I mean, who do you match him up with? Because he's got to be almost ranked, right? He's got to be almost ranked at this point.
Yeah. What about a Luque, a Ponzinibbio type?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be good. No? Ponzinibbio's the real deal. Luque's the real deal. But here's the problem with Luque. He got a strike. He's striking.
Yeah, so.
Then he might just take him down.
17 seconds.
Then he might just take him down, man.
That's what's like, good.
Hey, boy, Khamzat is the man, isn't he? That's crazy. I want him with one of the best guys. Put him in the top 10 fight.
Of course.
Neil Magny.
I'd be in.
Neil Magny. Put him in there with Neil Magny. Really? That's the one. Neil Magny versus Khamzat. That's how good and ready he is.
Khamzat or Leon Edwards?
Who wins?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Why you trying? I see what you're doing. God, you're the worst.
What?
Because you know I've been hyping my boy Rocky Leon. I've been hyping my boy Leon for the last few weeks, and now you try to turn me on Leon. Like I don't, but Leon Edwards should not fight Khamzat right now. Why?
No, he would never. Seven in a row. None of these guys are gonna do it.
These guys aren't gonna fight him. No reason to.
Yeah, what about Wonder Boy? What about Wonder Boy?
Man,
none of these guys. They're all gonna be
bro. You gotta stop trying to like. Okay, so it's a natural progression, right? Like. Damian Maia is like number 7 or 8 in the world, right, at this point? So, like, I mean, put him in there,
Damian Maia. But he's just so likable. Like, no one wants to see him. Now, I will say, stylistically, it's a really interesting matchup because if they get to the ground, off his back, Damian can hang. He's just too old.
Bro, he's getting crushed, dog. Hey, yo, if he fights Khamzat, he's getting crushed, dog. He's getting crushed if he fights Khamzat Chimaev. I'm sorry, Ariel. I'm sorry. A lot of guys are getting crushed if they fight this dude.
This time next year, September 21st, 2021, right?
Yeah.
2021. Has Khamzat either fought for the belt already or booked in a fight or champion?
By 2021, Khamzat Chimaev is fighting for the belt or is the champ. Listen. In 2021... Khamzat Chimaev is the double champ. 170 and 185. I'm trying to tell you.
I'm telling Izzy.
I love that. Izzy. But listen, he go up and down, dog. He can fight everybody. After what I saw, Ariel, because you know, we talked about this. I'm like, man, if he can run through Gerald, this spaceship.
We didn't say that.
This spaceship is going to the moon. Ariel, if boy, could you imagine if he runs through Gerald? And you were like, oh my goodness. And I was like, but then this is what I said, if I'm Gerald, I'm trying to hurt this dude regardless, win or lose, right? Make sure you don't make the fight. One punch. Good night, insane. Irene. It's great. Good night,
Irene. Good night, Irene. Giving homeless people McDonald's before the fight is.
And feeding people on. And guess what? He's such a great guy. I mean, he didn't video that. His friend did. He didn't even know. Whatever. Listen, Hamzat.
That's the classic.
Listen. Hamzat didn't even know his friend was videoing him. And unfortunately, his friend put it on the internet and he's like, come on. You know, I don't want this. You feed people in the dark, right? He does it with his heart because he said, as you do things for people here, it will come back to you in your afterlife. I mean, what? He's got great philosophy. He's got a great mind for fighting. He's got all the physical ability to dominate two weight classes. Dude's the real deal. I mean, I'm.
You are driving that train. I'm driving.
You think I would jump off the train if he lose? Do you think I'm so fickle that if he lost, I would jump off the train?
100%.
You think so?
100%. Really? 100%. That's just your style, but that's all good. Right now, you're all about him, and you should be. Now, Donald Cerrone, Nico Price fought to a draw, the first of Cerrone's career. By the way, I just want to say something about Donald Cerrone. I know the talk afterwards was, hey, he should retire. I was actually supremely impressed with Donald Cerrone. He took some big shots. I thought he was getting knocked out in the first 2 minutes of that fight. Mm-hmm. I don't think Donald Cerrone is done. How about that?
Weirdest post-fight I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a post-fight so weird in my entire life. Nico Price celebrated a draw. He celebrated the draw. And then they did an interview backstage together talking about their children.
How great is Nico Price, by the way,
man,
right?
Let me tell you something. I love Nico Price, but come on, man. Don't interview him with this dude, man. A draw?
What?
Come on, I don't want to talk to this dude, man.
He was so happy.
Yes! I was like, what is going on? I told Selena, I go, man, turn this off, man. I can't watch this. But she's like, why? I was like, a draw just got celebrated. I've never seen it in my life. Weirdest post-fight ever.
It was weird, but it was lovable.
You liked it, right?
I liked it. I thought it was nice. You did not like that. It was a weird fight with all those eye pokes. You know what wasn't a weird fight? Mackenzie Dern is awesome. I didn't expect this out of her. She looks a lot better at 115 than I ever thought she would look. So she's great. Our friend Danny Rube will be very happy about that shout out. He would have been really mad if we didn't mention her. Johnny Walker with a big
win. Another 50 grand.
Yep. Johnny Walker with a big win. Kevin Holland with a win.
What's up with Johnny Walker, man? Like, I gotta just know. What's up with Johnny Walker, man?
What do you mean?
He's out in Ireland now. He's got this new haircut. And then he kept getting hurt. What happened? It's like he can't take a shot anymore. And he was hurt bad. And then what did Ryan Spann do? Ryan Spann is just laying there getting elbowed on the side of the head. Like, you got to get up, bro. You got to get up. And those were actually pretty clean shots, too. I know that everybody was a little bit upset. But, dude, those are clean shots. You got to get up, Ryan Spann. Like, you're about to knock him out every single time you hit him. Why are you wrestling him? Just go knock this dude out. I like Johnny Walker. I met him in Brazil a couple years ago. But, like, I don't know. It seems like he can't take a shot no more.
All right, DC. Let's switch gears here very quickly. What's that face you're making?
I just got a weird text message from Bobby. Said, Governor Cuomo wants to call me. Like, what did I do? Like, what did I do to get
– Bob Cook?
Yeah, what did I do?
That's cool.
The governor wants to call me. Why? What did I do?
No, he probably wants to. I saw what's that actor's name? The guy from the guy from Clueless, Paul Rudd. He did an ad campaign about wearing masks for Governor Cuomo. So maybe it was that. So let us know. Do you want to call him right now? Do you want to?
No.
Okay.
He wants to say hi.
All right. Tell him I say hi.
Say hello. I'll tell him my friend Ariel wants to say hi too.
Hey, some good news regarding Conor McGregor last week. Dana White saying that they've been talking. His manager, Adi Attar, telling me that they've been talking. It appears as though the retirement gimmick is no more. What do you think they're talking about, if you had to guess?
In terms of a fight, I don't know. I actually don't even know because I don't know where he fits right now, right, with everything, like everything, and I don't know where he fits. But there are fights for him, obviously, and obviously he's going to choose what type of fight. But – Khabib's fighting right now, very soon. You got Chandler now in the mix. Tony's free. Poirier's free. There are a ton of fights for him. I just don't know which one he's going to choose.
Pretty obvious what they're talking about.
Who?
He's going to fight the winner of Khabib Gaethje.
You think they're going to just give him a title fight?
Absolutely. They said they were going to give him a title fight a year ago after fighting Cerrone. Now the fight is coming up. Hopefully in 2021, around March or so, there'll be fans. And it's quite obvious that the timing works out here.
Well, they've got to get Habib to agree to it too, right?
Oh,
Habib
get out of here.
Listen,
oh,
Habib, seems to, Habib seems to want to fight George St. Pierre and George St. Pierre only. Look, man, you have to truly believe and know who Habib Nurmagomedov is too. I know that it's going to be very enticing to go fight and make all that money again, but I don't know. I think he wants to fight GSP. If his mind's set on something, I'm sure that's what he's going to do.
Okay, so you're saying that right now they're just talking.
I don't think there's a fight yet. I don't think there's a fight yet, but there are a ton of options.
Well, lightweight is super interesting because all of a sudden here comes Michael Chandler from Bellator. He's now been signed to the UFC. Now, this whole situation is super weird with the Khabib and Gaethje fight because Michael Chandler is now the backup fighter for the title fight. It was originally supposed to be Ferguson versus Poirier, and as I told you, I think a week or so ago, the situation was Ferguson would get bumped up if Gaethje fell out, and then Poirier would get bumped up if Khabib pulled out. Well, they couldn't come to terms with either one of those guys. They tried to do Ferguson-Poirier. Then they tried to do Ferguson versus Chandler after Poirier couldn't come to terms. Then Ferguson said, no, I'm sticking with Poirier. So then they tried to do Poirier versus Chandler, believe it or not, and they couldn't come to terms with Poirier. So then they just settled on Chandler being the backup. Now, I will just say this, DC. I don't believe that they will stop trying between now and October 24th. I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to the well of either Ferguson and or Poirier to fight Chandler. I don't think they want to have Chandler debut in this kind of way because it's a very unique thing. Mm-hmm. But what do you make of the decision to put Chandler, who's coming off a big win over Benson Henderson in Bellator, who's a free agent but wasn't the Bellator champion, it's Patricio Pitbull, in this spot as the backup fighter for a title fight, at least as of right this moment?
Well, Michael Chandler for a long time has been one of the best lightweights in the world, right? Like, unless you're just a complete homer for one organization, you recognize his talent and who he is. He's a two-time Bellator champion. He's a fantastic fighter. It's odd, right? Because you don't want your new toy to just sit on the shelf. You want him to be on display as early as possible. So I believe that if they can't get one of those guys to fight, they're going to go and try to find someone else. And there are a number of guys at 155 that are willing to fight Michael Chandler. It's just a matter of finding the right one. I don't believe it's going to end like this. I don't believe it's going to be Chandler just sitting, making weight just in case. I do believe he's going to have a fight. I'm just not sure who it's going to be yet. But it'll be one of the guys in the top 10. It'll be somebody in the top 10.
DC, if he actually debuts like this as a backup fighter, this would be one of the strangest debuts in combat history since when Bret Hart debuted in WCW as a guest referee. I mean, there would be no debut.
He would just actually step on the scale and leave.
It was just
step on the scale and leave.
No, but I remember when Bret Hart went to WCW and he showed up as the guest referee. It was just weird. It's like, what is this?
It was bad. A referee.
Debut a guy.
Here's what the thought process was. Get him into the main event scene. The only way to push him into that scene was to make him the referee because Savage.
Well, that's what this is. Get him into the main event scene, but he needs to fight someone because you don't know how much you promote the guy, right? Like, you don't want to promote a backup fighter, but then if he steps in on like 2 days' notice, you haven't promoted him enough, right? So it's just – and here's the historical part of it. Do you see the last time a non-champion debuted in the UFC, right, and fought for the belt was UFC 177 when Joe Soto fought TJ Dillashaw on 24 hours notice when Henry Burrell, you know, got hurt while cutting weight. That UFC 177 was a long time ago. Prior to that, it was Dominic Cruz, it was Jose Aldo, it was Gilbert Melendez who debuted in the UFC with a title fight. However, those guys were champions
in the organization prior.
Owned by the UFC. Mm-hmm. DC, you have to go back to when Frank Trigg fought Matt Hughes back at UFC 53 when he fought for the welterweight title. But here's the thing. Frank Trigg was a champion in WFA. That was, I think off the top of my head, 17 years ago. You have to go back 18 years, DC, to when Hayato Sakurai fought Matt Hughes as a non-champion.
Oh, you're smart. Ooh, wow, look at this smart guy.
Yes. I
mean, wow, you're so smart, right?
Unprecedented.
You can come tell me about all these people. You gonna come try to tell you gonna sit here? I'm looking at my clock. I'm looking at my clock. It started. This whole rant started at 9:59. It's 10:01 now, and you still talking about the last time this, and this happened. Well, this we're in a different day and age, son. Let's stop living in the past.
What do you mean,
Michael
different
Chandler
day and age?
May now fight for the lightweight championship of the world in his UFC debut. So, hey, as time changes, so go the rules. And those are the rules that we live in today. So Ariel's so smart. And it go all the way back 17
Hayato
years.
Hayato Sakurai.
Hey, to Hamzako Sakurai. You got to go all the way back 17 years to Hamzako Sakurai. And he was the WFL champion, Frank Trigg.
WFA. What do you know, man? You don't know anything about this. What are you, some kind of casual? I'm trying to educate you. I'm trying to enlighten you.
You got to go back 16 years to the WFL championship. Frank Mir made this championship. And you go back 18 years to Hamzako Sakurai to make his debut in the – come on, man.
That's right. Unprecedented. Unprecedented.
The whole time I'm sitting there, your head just getting bigger and bigger and bigger because you're so arrogant. And you sit there with your head.
How am I arrogant? Listen, don't you start with me right now. Don't you start with the arrogant. We'll get to you in a second.
On your high horse. I know something about UFC 115 and UFC 99 and Hamzako Sakurai. Come on, man. Like, what in the world is going on in here, man? I don't get it, man. I don't get why you do this to me. Because I definitely don't know who Hamzako Sakurai is. I have no idea who this guy is. Who is that?
You don't know who Sakurai is? One of the best fighters? He was a welterweight. Fought Matt Hughes. Fought in Japan for many years.
Oh, the Japanese dude with the black hair. He has some knee pads on his legs, right? Yeah, they wore knee pads. That's the dude with the knee pads. Is Hamzako Sakurai the guy with the knee pads? The guy with the knee pads. Be honest. He has knee pads, right?
What is his name?
Some ankle. He had ankle spikes, too. Who?
Okay. What?
Hamzako Sakurai? What's his name, dog? What's his name?
Okay. Let's just move on.
I'm so hot right now, Why do you do this to me, dog?
It's hot under these lights.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Speaking of Abu Dhabi, UFC 253, level of excitement. Did you see, by the way, Izzy and Paulo Costa have a little sort of cordial exchange? What was up with that? They broke kayfabe right there for us.
Professional, right? They're professionals. I would have loved to see
you wouldn't do that with Jones
fight. Yeah. Could you imagine? We got in fights every time we saw each other. But like, y'all shaking hands now? I'm like, Costa, get him. Like, do something. Izzy, do something.
Nothing.
Hey, listen, man, when you're the face of Puma, when you're the face of a major company like Israel Adesanya, you got to keep yourself in check. You know, like, don't mess with the money.
A diss on ya.
Hey, man, we're not doing this again, man. We're not doing this and dissing your stuff again. You can't just change your name in the middle of your career like Kelvin Gastelum. Like, no, you don't get to change your name 10 fights into your career. Like, I'm sorry.
Give me a Fred.
You don't get to change your name 10 fights into your career,
just give
dog.
Me a Francis. Kelvin Gastelum. Give me a Francis real quick.
Who? Nagano? Nagano?
When he does it in the microphone thingy.
Who?
Francis
Ngannou?
Yeah, what he does. Ngannou.
Francis Ngannou. Hey, Francis Ngannou. Hey, oh, that's how you say his name? Remember when he first came, he had the dreads, he looked like the Predator, right? He looked like Predator. I was like, yo, what is this big dude's name? They said, here, Daniel, we'll let you listen to the audio. Francis Ngannou. I said, oh, there he goes. That's how you say that big biscuit's name.
Oh, gosh.
But no, like, you don't get to change your name in the middle of your career, dude. Like, so it's Israel Adesanya.
Hey, by the way, Paulo Costa changed his name. He was Bohashinya. Now he's Paulo Costa. So he did it too.
No. It's the eraser. Bohashinya means the eraser.
And he's got Waleed in Abu Dhabi with him. I didn't think Waleed was making the trip. You know, Waleed, look at his eyes, the blood.
Who is
Bohashinya? You know, his manager, Waleed Ishmael, with the bald head.
That little dude, the little Brazilian. Yeah, I like that dude.
This is Bohashinya. He gets all fired up in the post-fight.
He's the ultimate hype man. He's like Jimmy Hart, right? He's the best. Jim Cornette. He's got the racket. He's the ultimate hype man.
Hey, first time since UFC 98, two undefeated.
Oh, my goodness. Here you go with this again, right? Like, no, we did this. We did this. That two undefeated fighters are fighting for the championship. We did this. Why do you continue
first
to do this?
Hey, it's a big deal. I need to remind people.
Me and Jones, too. Me and Jones, too, were undefeated the first time. Jones is still undefeated, bro.
He had
Jones is undefeated.
Man,
Jones is undefeated.
Matt Hamill, the hammer.
Man, still to this day, Jones is undefeated. Listen, I've never seen anybody get – that was the worst. That was crazy, man. Matt Hamill was just getting, like, just destroyed, and he won.
It was – so UFC 253 this weekend, you got Paulo Costa versus Izzy Adesanya. You got Jan Błachowicz against Dominic Reyes. A lot of names. You've got four CKB guys on the card, Kai France and Shane Young.
CKB? What's CKB,
yeah, City
man?
Kickboxing.
Oh, yeah, City Kickboxing. Okay, I know
that's right. You got Hakeem Dawodu of Canada on the card. It's a great card on pay-per-view this Saturday, and I can't wait for Izzy versus Costa. That's an amazing fight.
I can't wait. I'm watching home, too. That's the best. Can we watch on FaceTime?
We can watch it together. You're not working this one.
No, I'm free. I'm free to watch it because I always like calling you after a good fight and you're just in the dark by yourself, sweat top on. I mean, just, yeah,
you have no friends. They won't let me out. I can't do anything. Listen, well,
hey, you can only go, you can go out on Jacqueline's terms to the beach, to restaurants, to fix the car. You can only go when she says,
I let this go long enough. Let's address what happened last week. There I am. Having my coffee
on a Tuesday
morning, having my coffee, and I see on Yahoo Sports, my friend, dare I say one of my best friends, Daniel Cormier, announces to the world that he had a bout with coronavirus, and it became this whole thing. I did an interview in Canada 2 days later. They're asking me questions. I was like, hey, guys, I'm not the one who had this issue. Why don't you ask him? Well, we don't have his phone number. Well, why are you asking me all these questions about? Did you know? And they're like, hey, isn't it weird? They said to me, isn't it weird that he announced this on another platform and didn't announce it on your own show? Not like Ariel's show, the DC and Helwani show, like your own show. And I was like, you know what? You guys are right. And so let's break the fourth wall. We had, you know, did we have our first fight?
Oh, it was a fight. It was bad.
But you know,
it was bad. I felt bad. Hey, and then I'm like calling you. I'm like, yo, man. Once it became obvious that you were upset, I go, hey, man, give me a call real quick. Oh, I gotta take a walk first and cool down. I'm like, wait, like, what? You're that mad? I couldn't believe it. I felt so bad. I didn't sleep for 3 days.
The best part about this is you've never been nicer to me than in the past week. Like, you're calling me, asking me. Let's be honest. I mean, we're friends, I think. Yeah, but, like, you know, you're an athlete. You're a little, like, self-centered. You know.
Wait, what?
I mean, you know, you probably can't even name all my kids' names. Like, let's just call it like it is. Like,
I know them. I know them.
Okay, go.
Walter.
Yeah.
Claire.
Yeah.
You got two kids, right?
No, I have three. So you don't even know how many kids I have.
You know, I just not know. It's a joke. It's a joke. But it's a joke. I know you have three kids.
This past
and I don't even
week,
know your wife's name.
You say Shana Tova to me. You're calling me up about Rosh Hashanah.
Happy Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed Rosh Hashanah dinner, right? Yeah, like, I understand. Yep. You know,
you're asking me things about my. I was like, wow, DC really feels bad. I feel like Selena told you, like, man, you take Ariel for granted. Like, he's a really good friend, and you stabbed me in the back with this news.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, man.
Never again.
I'll never do it again. I just didn't know, man. I, you know. When you get an opportunity to talk to people like CNBC, because for me, it was a technology type of revelation, you know, like it was more about the technical aspect of it, right? Like the fact that I was able to wear this Oura Ring, and this Oura Ring was able to give me the signs that told me I was starting to get sick. Like, that's what I wanted to share with the world, that product, right? And
I didn't want to do it
because the reality is, it's like, I don't want it to seem like I'm trying to sell anything, because I'm not trying to sell this Oura Ring. All I'm trying to do is show people that this is a great tool to have in life, just in life. So I was like, you know what, man, I'm not going to do it on my show, because I'll be like, oh, this dude's trying to use this platform as this. I want this show to be pure, right? Two friends talking sports and having a good time.
I was so hurt.
In terms of the COVID, well, I had a bout with COVID. In the middle of July, it was crazy. It was bad. I could feel it. I could feel that my body was sick. I could feel that I felt run down. It was everything that I had heard about on the news outside of the ventilator and those extreme cases. But yeah, man, I felt run down. I felt like maybe I had trained too hard and I just had to kind of take a step back. But I went through a lot, you know, like I had the cut, you know, in camp, and then I had the COVID. So This was a very tough camp. So getting to the fight was very rewarding for me, and fighting the fight that we had was really rewarding.
And people thought that you were making excuses. No. I think you were clear about that.
Very
clear. You just
came
out and said it. You just didn't do it on our show. That's it.
I'm sorry, Ariel.
It's okay. I did it for days. You've done this to me.
Even when I think that we're going forward, you hit me below the belt again. Ah, I remember when you did your thing with this guy. Every day, like uppercut to the belly. Hey, you remember you talked to this guy?
This isn't even me being upset that you didn't give me the exclusive. Like, you didn't come on our – you host the show. You co-host the show with me, and you went somewhere. I mean, could you believe?
Imagine if I did that.
Imagine I showed up on some other show talking about –
Could you imagine if you said something and didn't tell me? I'd be so mad.
Unbelievable.
It's just like –
But the best part about all this – is that you've never been nicer to me. Like, you're asking me about myself. You still don't know that I have, you know, three kids and all this stuff, but that's
okay. Did I just name you kids?
No, you missed one.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said Walter and Claire.
Which one do you think I missed? Which one do you think I missed?
The one you didn't say.
Yeah, that's Abby.
That's right.
Abby, right? That's Abby.
I mean, how insulting is this? The guy who I consider a friend. Huh? My firstborn, the one who's been around the oldest.
Wait, I thought Walter was the oldest.
I mean, this is just getting worse. Oliver is the oldest.
Oliver. Yes, I remember Walter. Oliver. He's the guy with a good right hand.
No, that's Walter.
Walter has the right hand.
Yes.
I'm just joking. That was a joke. Yeah. I'm making jokes.
What kind of? And you know what's the difference between
Oliver,
me and you?
Walter, and Claire? And Claire is the most beautiful little girl, man. Her hair. She's such a great personality.
But this is the difference between me and you. Despite the fact that you stabbed me in the heart and the back, despite the fact that you were a bad friend and you continue to exemplify traits of being a bad friend, I'm on the internet late Friday during Rosh Hashanah, and I stumble upon an article from some jabron named Booker T. How dare this Daniel Cormier?
He wants to book his own angle.
And I come to your defense. That's the kind of friend I am.
Hey, thick and thin. Be easy, Booker T. You better be careful, because I will go right upside your head. I'm not going to play around. And look at my boy Ariel just jump to my defense right away.
We're in the midst of a fight. We're in a fight, and I'm coming to your defense.
No, but hey, because we've got each other's back, right? I did it for you with Bisping on Saturday. You know, like, we got each other's back.
Well, that
back,
was part of you trying to make amends.
No. Wait, so you think you think everything I'm doing now is just in an effort to make things better?
1,000,000%.
Come on, I just got your back.
It was nice. Listen, I hope this lasts. I really hope you've never had my back.
I've always had your back, right? Remember, I went after Darren Till for you. I had to stop Darren Till from beating you up. I had to stop a lot of people from beating you up. How about Booker T?
Booker T, this guy, first of all, you're talking about Roman Reigns. Here's this guy who hasn't been relevant for 15 or so years. Just thinks he can waltz into the middle.
You're going to waltz into the main event? Booker T, you want to be the backup fighter? You want to be the backup fighter for the main event? Come on, King Book. And the problem is, I love the Harlem Heat. I love Booker T. I love Stevie Ray, the five-time WWE champion. But Booker T, come at me, man. I don't know if we're going to be okay. I don't know if we can bounce back from this.
Here's the difference between you and Booker T, as I prop you up. You're a double champ. You don't have to remind people every time you speak how many belts you've won, how many things you've done. This guy is so relevant and is such an afterthought that every time he speaks, he has to remind people of his accolades, of his accomplishments.
He has to remind people
because he's such an afterthought. But guess what, DC?
What?
Booker T has sent us a message.
He did?
He has sent us a message. I'm being told.
Wait. He sent me a message? He sent us a message?
He sent you a video, yes.
So here's the problem. Like, I keep breaking kayfabe, right? Because then I become a fan again. It's like, so wait. I keep trying to cut promos on these dudes, but then I break kayfabe.
Let's hear from Booker, because he said, let's listen to this. Let's hear from Booker T.
I just want to drop a little message to Daniel Cormier. You see, I'm getting ready to work out right now, so I don't have a whole lot of time. DC, you said Booker T, be careful. Well, I am careful, brother. My thing is this. I've been watching you for a long time, Strike Force. You know, I mean, you did it. You did it big. I'm talking about Bigfoot Silver. He dropped like a fallen log, man. But hey, in the UFC, double champ, I give you your props, man. You have done a whole lot. for the industry. But now you're talking about stepping into something totally different. You're talking about crossing over to my territory. Well, bro, let me give you the lay of the land before you ever think about talking to Roman Reigns. Hoo-wah, you need to talk to me first, brother. I'm talking about right here inside the Hall of Fame. And I know you got a little coattail rider by the name of Ariel Helwani. Helwani, let me give you some advice, bro. You want the rub? Let me catch you at Starbucks. I'll give you the rub, all right? Call me A. Give me a call. I'll be waiting.
Okay. Okay. Here's the problem. As I want to do this, it's like I keep becoming a fan. So now it's
look,
over.
He's cutting promos on us.
It's okay. I'm back on his side.
No, no,
Meet your bro. Yes, no, I'm back. He won me over. Okay. Listen, Booker T. I'm coming on the podcast. We're going on the podcast. We're going to go together. Let's go.
What podcast?
Ricky, the Hall of Fame. It's a show, he said. The Hall of Fame. I know that it's a show. The Hall of Fame.
DC, we work for ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports.
I'm going, man.
We don't show up on podcasts with five people
on
it.
I'm going. Sorry. I'm going.
What, you're going rogue on? I'm trying to cut a promo here. I'm trying to get us to WrestleMania.
Sorry. I'm going.
You're fanboy. Booker T, if you ever speak of me like that, you talk about who's riding whose coattails here.
Booker T gonna rip you apart. Did you
this
see
is the A
arm?
Side right here? All right, hey, Booker, you haven't been relevant in 18 years.
Wait, did you see how strong Booker T looked?
The only reason they gave him that WCW title is because they were a ship that was sinking. He was irrelevant. He was post WCW. We're gonna waltz in there.
Ain't no spinning Rooney up in here. Ain't no spinning Rooney up in here.
Hey, Booker T, why don't you go on your TV show?
Ain't no scissor kick up in here.
Booker T, why don't you go on your TV show and respond to us? Oh, that's right. They canceled your TV show. That's right, Booker T. You don't know who you're dealing with right here.
Why do you always do this? It's like you constantly give me a fight. You constantly give me a fight.
I'm getting
you constantly give me a fight. Booker T. I just want to be Booker T's fan again. All right? No, I'm ready to go back. Can we go back?
I don't.
Can we go back?
I don't.
You interviewed him before. You've interviewed him.
He was nice then, but now he went too far. I don't even know what he's talking about. Starbucks, the rub. I don't even know what he's talking about. All I know is that we'll blow right through him, and then we'll go to Roman Reigns and whatever, and we're going to WrestleMania. Point to the sign, DC. Point to it right now. Point to the sign. We're going to WrestleMania. SoFi Stadium, come.
As I point to the sign, I got Seth Rollins laying on his back in the middle of the ring because I'm going through the entire Shield. Dean Ambrose ain't around no more, so I got to beat Seth Rollins up first and then go get Roman Reigns.
John Moxley?
That's his name?
That's his real name.
John. Oh, that's the AEW champion. That's John Moxley. Yeah, he's the man.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We got a round third. Corporate Jake is losing his mind. He's losing all his hair. He doesn't have any hair left, but he's losing whatever he has left. Quick shout outs. I'll go through mine and then you go through yours. All right.
Let's do it.
Hey, shout out to Goran Dragic of your Miami Heat. Why? Because he's a big MMA fan, but most importantly, because when I interviewed him last week before we went on the air, the first thing he said was, "I love DC and Helwani." So shout out to Goran Dragic.
We're starting to make it, baby. We're getting there. Yes. We're getting there.
Shout out to Israel Adesanya for the Puma deal. That's historic stuff. That's a really big deal. Good on him. Hey, shout out to Damon Jackson, the Leech. The Leech coming back after 4 years away, coming back, doing his thing, and winning over Mirsad Bektik on Saturday. And you're going to love this one. Hey, shout out to Nico Price for being a mensch back there.
Really?
That was nice stuff. Yeah, that was nice stuff.
You're giving Nico Price love for that?
Yes, absolutely. He was like, will you come train with me? It was amazing. Listen, I loved it.
I love Nico Price, but that is behavior unbecoming of a fighter. Like, this is unbecoming behavior of a fighter, Nico Price. You need to stop being so nice all the time. But my first shout out, I want to give to the San Francisco Fire Department Station number 19. My good friend, Mike Wan. I said my ear kind of itched a little bit. My good friend Mike Wan, whose son Travis wrestles for me, has wrestled for me for a really long time. He's part of this firehouse. They were able to save a father and his son who were on a hike this weekend in San Francisco. They got trapped down the side of a hill, and they were stuck there. Those guys from the firehouse came, pulled them up to safety, and saved them. That is big on Mike and the rest of his team over at the firehouse, number 19 in San Francisco. I want to give a shout-out to the Louisiana Lafayette football team. First time in years that they are ranked in the top 25 in the country. That is coming off of a win over Iowa State, who was number 25 at the time. Look,
I mean, there's no team playing right now, so let's be honest.
Was that?
I mean, there's no teams playing. So,
but it's okay, though. This is something that for the people of Lafayette, we don't get, right? UL Lafayette doesn't get into the top 25. Big on them. And lastly, I want to give a shout-out To Black Adam, what? The true Black Hercules, the Rock, Dwayne Johnson, the son of the great Rocky Johnson, grandson of the High Chief Peter Maivia, the Rock, Dwayne Johnson, just hulked up because, look, man, some people want to get to work, whereas you're late all the time, I'm early.
Yeah.
If you were the Rock, you would rip the gate off of your beautiful mansion in Los Angeles to escape. The Rock's security gate would not open. It was stuck. It was jammed. So after he beat the numbers, trying to enter the code multiple times, it didn't work. So he grabbed the gate from the brick fence and ripped it out of the concrete, threw it on the side, went to set and filmed the movie. Black Adam with ultimate strength, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, the strongest human being. He has 50-inch pythons. Remember Hulk Hogan had 24? He has 50-inch pythons. He's so strong, and he went to work. Let me tell you something, man. You need to get commitment to getting to work on time like The Rock does.
That's right. Because I thought you were going to give me a shout-out, you know, for what you did to me last week to try to butter me
up. Oh, and I also want to give a shout-out to my boy Ariel Helwani. I want to give a shout-out to my boy Ariel Helwani.
That doesn't count. This makes it worse.
No, because forgiveness is key. Forgiveness is key in relationships. And I love how understanding you are.
Hey, no shout-out to Booker T, all right? Speaking our name in vain like that. No shout-out, I said. But – hey, before I go, shout out to the 2-0 Buffalo Bills led by the Josh Allen. Ooh, good luck to your Saints
on fire,
tonight, Monday Night Football.
We on fire. Tonight.
Good luck to your tonight, yes. Good luck to them tonight.
Down goes the Raiders. That's down right. Goes the Raiders. Let's go.
Good luck to them. It's you versus Rosendo.
Yep, me versus Rosendo and Shane. These boys know, and I keep betting the money. They think the Saints are going to lose. Last week, I won $500 because they bet on the Buccaneers. So now I'm going to make more money on them tonight when the Saints go marching into Las Vegas and we lay claim to that Death Star, that atrocity of a stadium. It's obnoxious. It's obnoxious. Yeah. If the Saints ever had an obnoxious-looking stadium like that, I would turn it off and never watch it again. Have some class, Raiders. You don't have to build a big, black, nasty-looking stadium in the middle of a Las Vegas desert. It's obnoxious, man.
Well, hopefully you can have as good as of a game as my guy, Josh Allen, 417 yards, 4 TDs. I mean, hopefully. Hopefully.
I turned my nose up in there. I mean, the Buffalo Bills.
All right, we're out of time. So much to get to, so little time. We tried our best here on today's program. Again, UFC 253 goes down this Saturday on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Israel Adesanya against Paulo Borrachinha for the middleweight title, and Dominic Reyes against Jan Błachowicz.
Yo, that's crazy that you would do that. That's kind of crazy that you would do that. Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Borrachinha. And then Dominic Reyes fights Jan
Błachowicz. No.
That's exactly what you just did.
We will talk all about it next week on this program. Thank you, Modelo. Thanks to all of you for continuing to watch, download, rate, subscribe, review, all those things and more. But for now, we're out of time. Back next week. Same time and place. Tell us, say peace. We're out of here.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.